Hey, Heat Nation, it's time for another White Hot Heater's Gonna Heat.
Welcome back to another episode of Heater's Gonna Heat. Today here, your hosts, Jorge Cantu and Richard Anselmo. And Rich, isn't it good to be 10-3 at this point of the season?
It is fantastic. I can't wait until we're 20-3. I want this just to keep going on.
I have to say, honestly, I am quite surprised. I mean, even though most of us expected Miami to do much better, I don't think we expected to be this good this early on. At least from my end, I thought we would take a little bit of time to mesh all the parts together. But man, thus far, so far, so good. And I'm excited to see what Miami can do.
I am, too. They're looking so good. And they haven't really even gelled yet. That's what we have to look forward to.
Which means this isn't even our final form yet. So if you get Miami in the playoffs, beware. And that's all I can say at this point. Right now, we're recording this on Friday afternoon. And looking at our upcoming schedule, we have 5 games in the next 7 or 8 nights. So it's certainly going to be a rough week for Miami after having kind of like an easier schedule this past week. But instead of focusing on all the upcoming games, in this particular episode, Rich and I want to talk about Miami's overall performance as a team thus far. Because as I said, it has been quite impressive. I'm sure most of the people of the NBA fans in general or around the league will say that this is kind of unexpected. Maybe not as much as the Suns' hot start, but quite unexpected to see Miami do this well this early in the season. So why don't we dive into the numbers, Rich?
Okay.
Sure. Just before we do, quick reminder to all of our listeners, you can follow us on Twitter at Heaters Heating, where of course we'll post all of our new episodes and be tweeting some Miami Heat info. And if you want to support the Heaters Gonna Heat podcast, you can do it by purchasing one of our Heaters Gonna Heat t-shirts. We have 3 different colors, black, white, and our favorite, the Red Hot Heaters Gonna Heat shirt. So that's a one way you can support the podcast, and we want to thank you for the continued support throughout the season, and let's get ready to go. You ready, Rich?
I am ready. Get the red one. They're great.
You got yours already, don't you?
Oh, yes. I couldn't wait.
It's beautiful. We'll share some pictures on social media in the upcoming weeks, but now let's dive into the numbers. Let's talk about our offense first. So Miami has been the best shooting team in the league overall. Talking about field goal percentage, Miami is first in the league, shooting 48.2% from the field. And this is, I guess, quite surprising, maybe one of the most surprising stats, because Miami struggled. We had a pretty stagnant offense at times last season. And, I mean, I can't say I'm not surprised. I'm really happy to see Miami's offense, or at least the shots falling in early on this season.
Well, the shots are falling better than they did last year because the ball's moving. Butler's moving the ball. He's moving it well. He's averaging over 7 assists a night. Hero gets his share of assists. Nunn gets assists. A good number of assists for his minutes, especially for a young player. Dragic gets assists. Olynyk's a good passer. There is a lot of passing on this team, and they pass for the best shot. That's why the field goal percentage is so good.
I agree. The ball movement has been amazing. You pointed out Goran Dragic. He's coming off the bench, hasn't started a single game, yet he's our second leader in assists, just behind Butler, who is averaging, this has to be a career high, 7 assists per game.
It is.
I don't have the. Oh, it is?
Yes.
well, it isn't surprising because Miami's game has always been predicated throughout the years on moving the ball. But it was kind of tough when the personnel maybe wasn't the most appropriate one to do so. But, man, you see Dragic coming off the bench, averaging 5.2 assists per game, having an impact, and adding 15.8 points as well on only 28 minutes per night. This is the perfect role for Goran Dragic as he ages. At 33 years of age, this is the perfect role that I'm sure Spoelstra and the rest of the staff envision him in.
It is absolutely perfect. He is playing so well. And the great thing is, this is Coach Spo's offense. It always was. They just have the personnel to play it better now. Plus, this personnel is hitting shots. That means a lot.
It really does. And I mean, talk about Bam, who has been as impressive as expected, averaging 14 points, 4.5 assists per game, which is a very important asterisk we have to put out there because there are not many big men around the league who can pass the ball like Mr. Adebayo does. He's also adding 10 rebounds every night, shooting, 60.7% from the field, which is as good as you could have expected from Mr. Adebayo.
He's taking good shots. He's playing within himself, and he's making these shots because he's getting good passes. It all comes down to the passing. When you mention the assist numbers, it all comes down to that. And everyone's doing, in fact, everyone's doing a good job on both ends.
I agree. I have to agree 100%. When you talk about assists, well, the Heat is averaging 26.2 assists per game, which is good for seventh in the league. So, yeah, it's not too surprising to see that a team that is moving the ball as much as Miami has in this first portion of the season is getting shots to fall because good passes create good open looks. And, I mean, even the open looks at times last season seems like they weren't falling for whatever it was, but this year they are. Our good passing is being rewarded, and you can see it translated in the stat sheet, definitely.
And look at some of the young players. Hero's a 38% three-point shooter. Nunn is shooting a little over 38 from three. Robinson's hitting very well from three. In fact, he single-handedly destroyed the Cavaliers the other in one quarter with threes. Because the passing is good and the shots are good, the percentages are higher. And that makes all the difference in the world. And bringing in someone like Jimmy Butler, he's what, 10th in the league in plus minus? Because he's such a good defender. You notice Hero is a young player. Defense wasn't supposed to be his strength, but he's working at it every night. Nunn works on defense. Everyone's really trying to play good defense. They're following Butler's lead. It's so much fun to watch.
And, you know, following a follow-up of the three-point shooting aspect you were mentioning, you also have to bring in Mr. Dragic again. He's shooting 41.4% from deep on almost six attempts a night, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. And all of this good individual three-point shooting is, of course, leading to great three-point shooting numbers as a team. Miami's shooting 39.6%. from three-point range, which is good for second in the league. But man, when you're shooting 40% from three on a consistent basis, it's you have to keep these bad boys fly. And we're launching 32.5 threes per night, which isn't that much. We're pretty much at league average, 15th in the league. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see if the Heat's players start throwing up or jacking up a couple more threes. But it all comes back to, as you said, good shot selection. You're not just going to start launching more because you're shooting well, but you can continue to try and create good looks by, with the ball boom that we've been mentioning.
They're shooting so well because they're shooting good shots. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to the running the offense, the great playmaking, I mean, everyone in the team is passing well. Adebayo's having his best passing year. With playmaking sometimes comes turnovers when people take chances. And as long as they're not lazy turnovers, they don't bother me that much, because we're forcing almost as many turnovers as we create or as we've given up, haven't we?
Exactly. Actually, the Heat is dead last in the league in turnovers per game. We're turning the rock over 19.2 times per game, which is very reminiscent of our situation last year, where we were just, just turning the ball over way too much. But you stated a very important difference, which is these are not necessarily lazy turnovers completely. They're just turnovers that are sometimes because of overpassing, maybe being, it's part of the ball movement, right? But right. Then you bring up we're creating, we're forcing almost as many turnovers. 18.5 turnovers is averaging our opposition, which is good for second in the league. So I think this is one of the reasons why the turnover department isn't hurting us as much.
Well, combined with the fact you said we're about midway in the league in three-point shots, how about made three-pointers?
We are 10th in the league with 12.8 made. Right.
So we're higher up than we are in the attempts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give up a lot of three-pointers.
No, we're actually, moving on a little bit to the defensive side of the ball. The Heat is actually the best team in the league at guarding the three-point shot, at least thus far. Our opponents are shooting a league low 30.1% from deep, which is almost 10 full percent points of difference from our actual three-point shooting to our opponents' three-point shooting. So no surprise we're winning these many games.
And again, we move the ball to people who are good at taking and making those shots. We're forcing other teams to have people possibly taking those shots that they don't want to have taking them. Or we're defending their shooters very well. There's a lot that comes into it. And this is becoming a team that is not going to be just known as a good passing and good shooting team. As they improve together, you're going to see quite a good defensive team. Because mm-hmm. We have been. This team plays hard. They really work.
No, it's part of Heat culture. You know that Spo and is always going to be in players' ears when it comes to defense. But bringing in a guy like Jimmy Butler, who is one of the genuinely best defensive anchors from the wing from the wing position in the league. This was expected, but as you said, you mentioned Tyler Hero earlier on. You didn't really expect him to be, at least not a big negative on the defensive end. And thus far, he hasn't been a big negative.
And that's really what I was hoping for. But he's really working at it. I love his confidence, too. He can miss three shots in a row, and he will tell himself, I'm going to make the next guy.
We did talk about Hero's confidence in one of our earlier episodes, and that's one of the things that really sets him apart from the rest of the rookies.
It is, and to me right now, he's one of the front runners for Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about how successful the Miami Heat has been, it's interesting to see that all of this success has come mostly without Justice Winslow. I mean, our starting point guard has only played in 5 of our total 13 games, and he's out for tonight's game against the Bulls, and then our second night of the back-to-back game Saturday against the 76ers with an unfortunate concussion, which, I mean, it's understandable. You have to protect the players. But how different do you think the results or the numbers of the team would have been if Justice would have been able to participate in all of the games or in most of the games?
That's a tough question. How much better than none would he have been? He wouldn't have shot as well.
I agree.
He would have had more assists. And Nunn is playing decent defense. He's working. Here's a kid that sat in the G League all year last year. I mean, he's basically a rookie.
Pretty much.
He was up with the Warriors, but he didn't play. So this is the first NBA basketball he's playing. And he's got to be the biggest surprise on the team. No Probably one expected
in
this.
The league, too.
I loved him in preseason. And you guys were kind of laughing when I kept pumping it up.
We're not laughing as much now. No, and I mean, you bring up a great point in just the fact that this type of play from Nunn wasn't expected. You know, maybe you, because, you know, you're one of the advanced people that have been following him for quite some time now. But somebody who's more focused on pretty much NBA basketball like me, or maybe even like Kyle. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but talking about me, I really didn't expect anything close to the type of production that Kendrick Nunn has put out thus far. And I brought up kind of like the hard question, because it really is a hard question, thinking what would have been had justice, you know, been available. Maybe this has been kind of like a blessing in disguise thus far. And this is not to slam on justice and, you know, bash him. But the fact that Nunn is outplaying his expectations by, man, a very, very, very wide margin is what really begs the question. How would have things happened if, or how would have things turned out if justice were available? We don't know really exactly when he's coming back. As I said, he's ruled out for this game in against Chicago tonight and against Philly. We have another game against the Hornets on Monday, and then against the Rockets on Wednesday. So I think this has to be one of the target dates, depending on how his progress goes, because you know how picky the league has turned these last couple of years with concussion protocols, and rightfully so.
Oh yeah,
but it's going to be interesting to see how different the team is going to play once Justice is back full time.
It's going to be hard. He's going to take minutes away from the two young players because he has to play. He just has to. But I don't want to see it hurt their growth. I would probably rather bring him back slowly when he's ready.
I have a question for you. How about bringing him off the bench alongside Dragic? We saw this pairing work decently well last year. So how about bringing Dragic alongside Winslow off the bench, with Winslow running the point and doing most of the ball handling duties, and Dragic sliding a little bit to the two and focusing more on the shooting, because he's been shooting and scoring very well thus far. How do you like this pairing coming off the bench?
How many minutes does it take away from Hero? That's my big concern. My big concern is how many minutes Hero and Nunn lose. And you're right what you said. I have the exact same thing. I wanted Nunn to make the team and felt he was good enough. But I didn't expect this. I didn't expect he's going to be playing at this level. But I'd hate to see either of the young players lose minutes, even though you know they have to.
Yeah, because if it's not Hero, then it has to be Duncan Robinson.
Right.
Seeing how these two young guys are playing thus far, you wouldn't really want to take minutes away from either of them, but it's going to be one of the tough decisions that Spo will have to make. I mean, nobody said having such a talented team was going to be easy, especially when the type of production that overall the team has put out thus far is way, or maybe not way above, but at least above most expectations.
And do you want to break that up?
that's where the tough part comes in, because you have such a good team chemistry right now and everything working well. And you know what how the saying goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
But you can just have Justice sitting in there, and because, you know, he's shown how good of a player he is. But maybe, just maybe, with the type of personnel and the type of different abilities that we're having right now, because you mentioned shooting-wise, it's nearly not the same having none and having Justice at the court at the same time. Maybe players don't respect Winslow's shot as much as they do Nunn's, now that they have seen how deadly the second year or the rookie really is. So it's certainly quite tough of a predicament to be in, and it's going to be really interesting to see how Spo handles this.
I would probably bring him back slowly. There's no reason to rush him. Even when he's ready, don't push him. He doesn't have to come back and play 36 minutes like he did last year when he was out. They have enough to cover some of those minutes. Let's bring him back in, and it'll be some experimentation. How well does he play with Nunn? How well does he play with Hero? We know he fits with Dragic.
Mm-hmm.
What if they decide to start him, and does he get Robinson going early like other players have? It's really hard. I would not be in any kind of hurry to break this up.
No, and I agree 100%. And I think it's very important to state that this is more, that this is not about him not being ready to just come back and go at it, you know, full force as he had before.
Right.
This has to do more with how well the team is playing than with him. It's not that inserting him will make the team bad or worse. It's just that the team is playing so well that you don't want to disrupt all of the good things that they have built thus far as a unit up to today, right?
Oh, absolutely. And team chemistry is a very fragile thing.
And also very volatile, because just changing a small thing might cause a huge disruption, and not because players are bad or because players are terrible locker room presences or whatever. It's just how things go. You know, team chemistry is one of the most talked about intangibles, but it is so hard. There isn't really a way to measure it, or a way to say, oh, it has improved by this much, or it has gotten this much worse from day to day, because you just can't. This shows on the court.
And I wouldn't worry about Winslow messing with that. I really wouldn't worry. He wouldn't be. I'd worry about Waiters.
That's a whole different story, man. That's a whole another story.
I don't see a spot for him at all.
Oh, no, he's gone. He's as good as gone, I think.
I mean, I would tell him to get himself straight. Take care of the issues he's having. Get himself right. And just, you know, take care of your mental health.
Yeah, I think
the
Waiters is
the important thing.
Yeah, I think as of right now, Waiters is just, you know, speaking about him is a whole nother topic. And it's going to be for a different episode than today. Because, I mean, I really don't know the man and don't want to go into judgment, but I think it's clear that he's just not ready to get back into action, at least not with the Heat. Maybe another team takes a chance on him, which I see highly unlikely still. But I mean, for now, all Justice has to worry about is getting back from his concussion. We hope he's recovering. He has a speedy recovery and that it goes well. And well, the team has to focus on the upcoming back-to-back. As I said, tonight and tomorrow, tonight's task isn't as hard. We just have to take care of the young Bulls. But tomorrow at Philly, that's going to be a really interesting matchup that we're going to have. And especially if Ben Simmons hits another three.
And that's the worst part of the back-to-back. This is why I can't stand back-to-backs. Some teams have already had multiple. Lakers have yet to have one. I don't think Minnesota's had one. This won't be the Heat's first. I know the Clippers have had three. I know Toronto's had a couple. There's enough days in the year where they can fix this. There is no way any team should have 8 to 12 back-to-backs in a season.
This is
just wrong.
This is actually the second. I have my Heat schedule right here at my desk above my computer. And this is the second the third back-to-back of the season for Miami. And we're just a month in. What the hell is this? I hadn't even realized.
And that's why I said the Clippers have already had three. And people complain about load management. Well, maybe this is why.
And here's something interesting. Maybe I wouldn't mind as much having a back-to-back, you know, maybe at home, if the schedule gets too tight and you have to put back-to-back games, then make sure they're at home. But this is our road back-to-back. Both games are on the road. Have to fly to Chicago and then to Philly overnight and barely get any sleep, and then have to wake up for practice and a game time at 7:30 Eastern.
That's too much. That's too much to ask of a team.
And I'm checking right now, and both of our previous back-to-back sets were also on the road. The first one, we had to go to Milwaukee and then fly all the way to Minnesota. The second one was a much closer flight. We had to fly to Phoenix and from there to L.A., but still, that's tough.
It is.
That's why the initial predictions of the schedule had Miami not winning as many games because of a tough schedule.
Well, the fact that they have depth is a big point. Because even if you're playing back-to-backs, you don't have to play 40 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough people that could fill in. Olynyk's coming around. There's a lot of depth there.
I really, really hope that we can take care of the Bulls early on tonight so we can give our, you know, our players that play the most minutes a big rest, because they will really have to be ready to bring their A game tomorrow in Philly. And even if they don't, even if they get blown out in the first and or second quarters, we're in a position that it really wouldn't be that big of an issue. And it's understandable. I mean, this is your third road back-to-back of the season, and you've been overproducing very much thus far. You can't really be mad at the Heat if they do get caught on a bad night in Philly.
No, you can't. And like I said, some teams haven't had. I mean, the Lakers haven't had a back-to-back yet. And this has been a problem for years with the NBA and its scheduling. It's an 82-game season, and there's 365 days in the year. I think we can make this work a little better.
They could.
I think it should be a priority, but I think I'm the only one that feels that way.
No, I mean, the league has taken some steps from reducing the number of back-to-backs and extending the season a little bit, but I do agree that there are still measures to be taken to take care of our players, because it's such a big fight and discussion between the old timers and the new timers with load management and with the, we got paid much less money and still played the 82 games. But I don't think it's clear the differences that exist from then and now. I mean, that's why players' careers lasted 10, 11 years before, and now players are able to play for a bit longer. But yeah, this is a whole nother topic for another different episode.
It should be another day, because there's a lot of reasons why it is different now.
We'll leave
it. The older players didn't experience what the newer players do.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to understand that. But we will get into that another time.
That's great. We should be
an hour on that by itself.
We should be dropping another episode sometime next week discussing the results and this in our latest back-to-back. And, well, depending on when it drops, our a preview or results on Charlotte and Houston. But for now, it was a great look at what the Heat have done thus far. And I think overall, we can say that it's surprising, as I said before. And I mean, we can only expect Miami to keep producing this well. And well, we'll see how the story unfolds with Justice coming back in the near future, too.
Oh, we'll know a lot more by the end of the year, but I can't wait.
I'm so impatient, too. But well, Rich, before we get out of here, would you like to remind everyone, please, where we can find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Rich A, R-I-C-H-A underscore NBA. I'm on SB Nation Radio, other radio. I have a podcast called Scoops and Hoops, which you can find on Google Podcast, Anchor, where it resides, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and a whole bunch of others. I'm an NBA insider on Sports Byline Radio, and every once in a while I sleep.
And you can find me on Twitter at Kentu2NBA, that's C-A-N-T-U-N-B-A. And you can also find me every week on the Heaters Gonna Heat podcast. Once again, big thanks, Rich, for hopping back on today's episode. And as you said, we'll know much more about how the Heat do after this week. I hope that we can, I mean, it's going to be tough winning all four games, especially with the schedule, but we'll be back next week to take a look at everything that happened.
And please follow the Twitter site, which is at Heaters Heating, especially during the games, because there's usually something good from someone that flies up there. And we're all pretty active.
Oh, and I almost forgot. I want to give a quick big shout out to one of Kyle's latest articles. You know, Kyle Russell, one of the other co-hosts of the podcast. He just posted an article titled "The Miami Heat Are Off to an Impressive Start," which discusses most of the points that we covered today, from offense to defense to all of the things that have helped Miami be over or exceed expectations thus far. So definitely make sure to take a look to Kyle's article. We'll link it over on Twitter. You can also find it on Last Word on ProBasketball.com. And yeah, Kyle should be back on the podcast next episode. And so yeah, big shout out to that article, which was the inspiration for this episode.
Yes, it was. And we miss him here.
We do miss him. We'll have him back very soon. Don't worry. So, I mean, anything we're missing today? Or are we good to go, Rich?
I think that's it. We are good. Enjoy the games. Everyone have a great week.
We'll see you very soon, Heat Nation. Thanks for listening.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today on News 4 at 4.
It's one of the most anticipated lists of the year. Consumer Reports top new vehicle picks. Susan Hogan is working for you, showing you the safest, most reliable cars for your money.
Today at 4 p.m. on NBC4.
Many kids in our area are back to in-person learning, and we are helping you keep them safe in the classroom.
We're working for you. Small steps you can take at home to protect them at school, and expert advice to ease anxiety for you and the kids.
This week on News 4 Today on NBC4.